Hi, this is Dr. Mike Chupp, and I am so glad that you joined us for the weekly podcast of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations that we call CMDA Matters. I want to begin the program today by celebrating how the Lord used so many of you in December to help advance the ministry of CMDA. Through the generosity of many, I'm pleased to let you know that together, we successfully met the $100,000 matching gift challenge that I told you about, as well as our goal of $275,000 by the end of December. With mail delivery slower than I can really ever remember this year, we're continuing to receive donations postmarked still in December. I will plan on letting you know specifically how we finished 2020 in terms of giving, but right now, I just wanted to thank the Lord for these incredible blessings. I'm so grateful for each one of you that gave generously and prayed for your CMDA in December. You know, as difficult as it has been moving into 2021 with some really incredible, unprecedented things happening in our nation's capital, I remain excited with God's help about the many ministry opportunities that we're going to have together in 2021, changing hearts in healthcare. You know, CMDA members historically have not just been generous with their financial resources, but also with your time. Volunteerism by our members, whether in a local community clinic for the poor and uninsured, or often in short-term missions in countries around the globe, has characterized CMDA members and champions throughout our 90-year history. Sometimes I think evangelical Christians are criticized that we are too much about being against things, and that we don't talk enough about what we are for. In a recent survey of over 1,600 of our members, we learned that healthcare ministry in service to the poor, both domestically and internationally, in Christ's name, is a top priority for Christ followers like my guest today, Dr. Scott Keller. Dr. Keller is a full-time family physician in Lilburn, Georgia, and adjunct assistant professor of medicine at Emory University. He received his undergraduate degree from West Virginia University, his DO degree from West Virginia School of Osteopathic Medicine, and completed his residency at Brentwood Case Western University in Cleveland. Well, since that time, he has served on over 20 short-term mission trips in several countries and still fits in 5 clinic days a month in Clarkston, Georgia, in a refugee community where 54 different countries are represented. He manages to squeeze in music, fishing, hunting, and actually writing children's books, but his favorite hobby is playing with his grandchildren. He and his lovely wife and mission partner, Brenda, have 5 adult children who always know where they can find comforting arms, prayer, and a great homemade meal. You know, I was introduced to Scott at the CMDA Remedy Healing for the Nations Conference in Orlando early in 2019, as he shared in one of our breakout sessions about launching a medical clinic called Grace Medical Village among refugees in the Atlanta area. The Grace Clinic is located in a part of Atlanta named Clarkston, which has often been described as, quote, the most diverse square mile in America. I invite you now to listen in as Scott tells his story of getting caught up in a Kingdom of God project that has drawn in many Christ followers in healthcare in the Atlanta region. I am delighted to invite today to CMDA Matters Dr. Scott Keller, who is the medical director of Grace Village Medical Clinic in Clarkston, Georgia. Now, if you've never heard of Clarkston, Georgia before, it is pretty doggone close to Atlanta, really kind of part of Atlanta, Georgia. And I've heard, Dr. Keller, that it is America's most diverse square mile. Is that correct?
That's correct. That's in a number of magazines, America's most diverse square mile.
It is a cooperative ministry of the Atlanta CMDA chapter, as well as Grace Fellowship Church. Now, is Grace Fellowship your home church?
Yes, it is. Been there for 30 years.
The Grace Village Medical Clinic was launched, I understand, to serve refugees and indigent population about 7 years ago. Can you tell us a little bit about what led to the launching of this facility and this ministry?
We initially didn't plan on this at all. This is the Lord moving beyond what we could ever dream of. About 25 years ago, we developed a group from Grace Fellowship Church called Grace Medical Missions, where we would go to different parts of the world once or twice a year. We've been to Peru, we've been to Lebanon, Kosovo, started in Haiti, and we've been praying for those 25 years so we could be involved in some kind of domestic ministry. Once or twice a year, we went downtown Atlanta and served the homeless, but we wanted something more permanent. And 10 years ago, and this is one of those tragedies in the triumph stories, my wife passed away suddenly, and she'd been a seamstress, an artist and a seamstress, had done remarkable things with pillows and covers and blankets and things. We had all this really nice, expensive fabric in the house. Another ministry popped up in Clarkston that the lady taught usually widows and divorced women in the Clarkston area how to sew. They'd come to this country with no kind of occupation they could take care of themselves with. So she taught them to sew, gave them sewing machines, and we'd heard of that. I'd known this lady for a number of years. We donated all this expensive fabric. And one day she came to this small group of, there are non-medical people as well, there's about six or seven of us that were the core, and asked us to come to Clarkston and check on these ladies who had no money for medical care and had no insurance. So we went down one time, served in an abandoned apartment complex, and we went back 3 months later, and we went back every month, and every month turned into twice a month. And over the course of 7 years, the church rented us a space and then bought two houses. And through the ministry of CMDA and some other churches, we built it into a clinic. And now we're serving there 4 to 5 times a month, seeing anywhere from 35 to 55 patients every Saturday and some Wednesdays.
Are services being offered in between those visits, or is it only open those 4 or 5 times a month?
Right now, we're just open 3 Saturdays a month and 2 Wednesdays. And one of our dreams is getting enough people and volunteers where we'll be hopefully open 2 or 3 days during the week. We're just following along. Wherever it goes, we're going along with it.
Well, we met down in Orlando, if you remember, at the Remedy Conference. You were doing a breakout session and talking about how others might be able to start something similar, because many of the big cities in America have these sorts of complexes, these areas for refugees. How many more of these areas or towns are out there across the country, do you think?
Oh, there's pockets of refugees in every major city in the country. Sometimes they're spread out. The good thing about Clarkston is we have 54 different countries representative in this town of about 14,000. Which is real unusual, but there's pockets of Somalians and people from Africa and Central America all over the country where they can be ministered to.
Now, it seems like a great marriage with the local CMDA ministry. You've got several medical schools in Atlanta. Students can come alongside. Do the medical schools support this and actually encourage their students to get, I mean, obviously non-COVID times, ideal times we're talking about now?
Yeah, that's one of the things that's amazed me. We just went in there to take care of marginalized people from 54 different countries that spoke 47 different languages. And it's turned into a training center. We have residents from a couple of major hospitals coming in. There's 4 medical schools in Atlanta, and we have the professors, actually even non-believers, are encouraging them to come in because these are marginalized patients. They get some cross-cultural experience. So it's turned into a teaching institution as well, which is way beyond what we ever had planned.
When you take care of refugees at Clarkston several times a month, how does that compare as to when you're in one of these other countries, as you've been in the past, taking care of patients? What's the difference in the kind of care and how you approach caring for these refugees?
When we would go overseas, one of the things we did was make sure we work with a local church, local pastor, and we have used that to grow their church. And then we would always try to get some kind of follow-up with nurses coming into the community. In Clarkston, we can do our own follow-up. And we work with some churches. We don't have to depend on those churches. One interesting thing is when you go to one country, you can just work with that particular culture, and you kind of know their diet, other health care they can receive. In Clarkston, there's so many different cultures, you have to individualize it, which is tough, but also kind of cool at the same time. You're learning all these different cultures. The cool thing about that really is they may have different cultures, and you have to have just different diets, explain things a different way. But even though they're from 54 different countries, the basic needs are the same. You just have to approach it different.
How receptive, Scott, are your patients who are at Clarkson? How receptive are they? And how do you approach sharing the gospel, the love of Christ, these patients? Obviously, really good medical care is at the core of being an ambassador for mm-hmm. Christ. But how do you do spiritual ministry with refugees at Clarkston?
What's interesting is we have like animistic religions and Muslim and Hindus, and we have broad spectrum of religions there. And we have yet, to my knowledge, have anybody, when you ask if you can pray for them, tell you no. Mm-hmm. And they know why we're there. We talk about Jesus. We pray before. We have non-Christians actually ministering with us. I have a Muslim doctor who's a good friend of mine. And I told him, man, you know, if we talk about Jesus here, oh, that's okay. I like Jesus too.
Any pushback that you've ever had from any of the patients or the municipality? Or I just would think in this day and age that you're not ever completely scot-free when it comes to, as a Christian, to talking about Christ and the gospel.
Well, we have no dependence on any government or insurance companies or any educational institute. So no, not really any pushback. We just ignore it and move on.
I see.
Not yet.
Could you tell us a story or two about some lives that have been changed because of your care in Christ's name, showing up every Saturday or on the week, whichever day of the week it is, and on Wednesdays? How have you seen lives changed?
We do change lives with patients, I hope. We have one incident where this lady, who is a widow from somewhere in the Middle East, wandered in. She'd been living with her daughter. And fortunately, we had a gentleman there with us who spoke fluent Farsi. She spoke no English. She wandered in. Her daughter had been working. She hadn't eaten in 2 days. Had a horrible rash. I don't know why she came in. I mean, we didn't ask anybody to come in. We were getting ready to close. She came in. He spoke to her. We ministered to her. We prayed with her. We have a great picture by praying with her. Well, we became her friends. Still spoke no English, but she would come in, hug every one of us, say hello. And then when she got some money, she made food for us. And it was like she became our friend and we ministered to her. It's like, wow, this is what it's about. Unfortunately, we lost contact. She moved with another daughter up north. So we never saw that. The coolest thing to me that we never planned on was ministering to students, pre-med students, medical students, mm-hmm. Nursing students, nurse practitioner students, PA students. They get inspired, which we never planned on that at all, for ministry and taking care of the marginalized. Nate, who was our director of Atlanta CMDA, he comes in there and he's recruited about 36 mission trips with our students. What I would tell people listening is it can be habit forming. You go on one mission trip, you're doing it for life. Yeah. You're always thinking about the next one. And that's what the thing that's inspired me most is these kids getting excited about ministering outside the country, ministering to the marginalized. Even in our own country, sharing Jesus when you care for people's health.
Changing hearts in healthcare is what CMDA is all about. Tell me about your own heart and how you've seen that transformed over time as you've done this ministry. And then also maybe how you've seen some students and residents change in their approach to this kind of reaching out in Christ's name.
One thing I learned is obedience. I mean, we didn't plan this at all. It's like God put this opportunity ahead of us and we moved there. And the next one came up and we said, I mean, it's just not me. There's a group of us that have done this. And we moved to the next step. It keeps on going. So I think obedience is one thing. And the other thing that is amazing to me is I think that I underestimated God's immensity, because we got believers and non-believers from all over the world there. And he touches all of them. And sometimes different ways. It's like when you go to one particular country, like let's say you go to Haiti, the believers there, they have their own culture. and they worship Jesus a little bit different. But this is like all these people, and it's the same Jesus, same God. He's humongous. I didn't realize how big he was, and it keeps getting bigger and bigger. It's one thing. Another thing is tragedy. And this really, looking back, this came from sort of my hurt and an attempt to help relieve some of that. And it's turned into this.
So what's your future vision? What has the Holy Spirit been whispering into your heart about what the future might look like and what the next faith step might look like for Grace Village Medical Clinic?
Well, we're about to be cut loose with our own 501c3. So I'm not sure what that means. I'm hoping to be getting other churches involved as well, because even though it'll keep the name, there's still Grace Village. But all these other churches, we would sure like to get involved with us. Hopefully, we're going to be able to expand the hours if we get the patient volume up. It looks like already we're expanding the teaching. They just put us up a building behind us that we're going to use for a nurse practitioner school, Georgia State Nurse Practitioner. They're going to do women's wellness in there. So I don't know where this is going. I hope to put in more hours personally over there and keep doing the training and expand the training, which is real exciting to me.
Scott, I'm wondering also about relationships over time that have developed with specialists. I'm sure you see patients with a particular medical or you realize they have a surgical condition and they need help. How has it been in reaching out to whether Christian colleagues or even non-Christian colleagues, Muslim, non-Muslim, people with no faith? How has that worked in developing relationships and building bridges with other specialists in medicine?
That's what I learned about politics, because I would ask individuals, can you see two patients gratis, like an orthopedic surgeon or a gastroenterologist? If we have a problem, can you see them? And nobody said yes. So we had a big meeting, a big medical meeting. And after the meeting, this is probably back in January, people would gather and talk. And so I'd wait till two or three were together. And you'd get with them and then ask them, and they were embarrassed to say no. So you could get three people right away.
Peer pressure.
In a group. Yeah, the peer pressure did good. So now we've had a little trouble with COVID. That's another thing. We've had trouble getting specialists because they can use the excuse, well, I'm only doing telemedicine, or, I can't see any right now because I've limited the practice. So that's kind of been a problem. The good part of that is we've got some of them will actually come to Clarkston. So like orthopedic problems, we have an orthopedic surgeon, great brother, great guy. He'll see 10, 12 patients on a Saturday every quarter. You know, we have a rheumatologist doing that. We have, who else? Ophthalmologist comes in every quarter. Who's got free glasses?
Some of our listeners are at retirement age or thinking about retirement or are in retirement, still have their medical license. What would you have to say for that population in terms of level of fulfillment and fun that you have in doing this?
This is why we went into medicine. I don't have to worry about HMOs and PPOs and POSs and all that other stuff. Don't have to worry about computers, which is my bane. You just take care of people like you were trained, and you can treat totally spiritually as well as medically.
Just to help us understand, how long do these refugees stay in Clarkston? Is there a period of time, a maximum period of time they can stay there, or do they stay there from these 54 different countries indefinitely?
A lot of them are indefinite. When you come as a refugee, at this point, you get 6 months of Medicaid, 6 months of housing, and 6 months of food stamps. And after that, you're on your own, unless you know how to kind of use the system. So unfortunately, some people are stuck in that. We work also with some other ministries there. One's called the Lantern Project, and they would train men into skills that were translatable into American society. And there's Amplio, which is a staffing agency. So we're working with them so we can get these people kind of acclimated into American society. So, and some of them stay, and some of them come back. We have a friend who's Indian, who came as a refugee when he was like 10 years old and got a job, is doing good, came back to help the people in his community.
Well, we talk about not being for cloning, but after I meet Christian physicians like you, Dr. Keller, I wish we could clone and have more Dr. Kellers to spread around the country and to take care of other refugees and those who are marginalized in our various metropolitan areas. Just want to leave you with a verse that I send to a lot of folks who write to me and I know are involved in good ministry from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Dr. Keller, so we keep on praying, asking our God to enable you to live a life worthy of His call. May He give you the power to accomplish all the good things your faith prompts you to do, because then the name of our Lord Jesus will be honored because of the way you continue to live, and you will be honored along with Him. This is all made possible because of the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you in that work there in Clarkston, Atlanta.
Thank you, Mike.
Well, the Atlanta CMDA ministry that Dr. Keller is a part of is one of so many wonderful local ministry groups bringing together Christ followers from different churches and denominations to educate, encourage, and equip a caring and serving community of healthcare professionals who want to follow Christ. Well, speaking of equipping, the CMDA bookstore is a great place to find resources to help you respond to our Lord Jesus' admonition to serve in His name. Two books that I'm always recommending to groups that I share with, whether students and residents or young grads. I mentioned them this past weekend at our virtual Remedy conference as two of the three books I always mention. And one is the book entitled The Call, Finding and Fulfilling the Central Purpose of Your Life by Oz Guinness. It continues to stand as a classic reflective work on life's purpose. Best-selling author Oz Guinness, who was my guest last year on CMDA Matters, he goes beyond our surface understanding of God's call and addresses the fact that God has a specific calling for each of our lives. According to Guinness, quote, "No idea short of God's call can ground and fulfill the truest human desire for purpose and fulfillment." The call is for all who desire a purposeful, intentional life of faith, like I believe you do. I also want to mention Cross-Cultural Servanthood, Serving the World in Christ-like Humility by Dr. Duane Elmer. The last thing that we want to do in cross-cultural ministry is to offend people in host cultures, or as in Scott Keller's case, when that culture comes to you. Unfortunately, all too often, our actions can communicate superiority, or maybe paternalism, occasionally imperialism, and even arrogance. With careful biblical exposition and a keen cross-cultural awareness, Elmer shows how our actions and our attitudes can sometimes contradict and offend local cultural sensibilities. He offers principles and guidance for avoiding misunderstandings and building our relationships in ways that honor the other culture. You can get both of these books at cmda.org/store or by calling 888-230-2637. Well, each week, I want to tell you about some great opportunities for things that you can be a part of that we're sponsoring at CMDA. And first, I want to tell you about an up-and-coming opportunity early in 2021 for training in professional executive coaching. Our Center for Wellbeing is hosting the 501 Foundations for Christian Coaching course, and that will be on Monday evenings, February 1st through March 8th. This virtual training will equip you to help colleagues out of burnout, help patients own and achieve their own health goals, and increase your impact as you draw out and maximize the potential in others around you. Registration is open to all healthcare professionals, students, spouses, and others who work with healthcare professionals. I have signed up for this course myself. I've been wanting to do this for a long time, and I have finally been convinced by Dr. Sartori that this is a great course to join. CMDA will also be co-hosting our second webinar with the Hendricks Center at Dallas Theological Seminary on Wednesday, February 10th. At 12:30 Eastern Time. This webinar is part of our new quarterly series entitled CMDA and DTS Dialogues, Healthcare and Theology Learning Together. Our theme on February 10th will actually be Engaging the Beginning of Human Life with Dr. Jeff Barrows, our Senior Vice President for Bioethics and Public Policy, and Dr. Mary Beth Jewell. For more information and to register for any of our events, including this one, you can go to cmda.org/events. For every one of you listening, I know that you faced difficulties in 2020, and 2021 sure hasn't begun with any sense of normality, especially with the recent political turmoil in Washington, D.C. Many of you and your families have battled health issues with COVID-19. Some of you have even lost loved ones to the virus. Well, our Women Physicians in Christ Ministry is sponsoring a half-day virtual conference event on February 20th with the theme, Walking Through COVID-19 with Jesus. The event will feature someone I really enjoy listening to as a plenary speaker, Dr. Jean Wright, as well as worship, a panel discussion, and various meetups during the meeting. You can find out more information and register for this event and others, as I mentioned before, by going to cmda.org/events, or if you're listening to this podcast online, we will have a link in the show notes. Well, as I close, I really appreciate Dr. Keller sharing his inspiring story with us today. Grace Medical Village became beauty from ashes after Scott suddenly lost his first wife several years ago. God certainly works in mysterious yet amazing ways in our lives to accomplish His will and purposes. We need simply to trust and obey. I really hope that Dr. Keller's story encouraged you in your own endeavors to apply your own training in medicine or dentistry or other healthcare discipline to reach out in your own area of practice to help the marginalized, the poor, the foreigners, or refugees among us in Jesus' caring name. You know, I heard Andy Stanley make a statement that resonates with me, and I'll close with it today. It comes from words of Jesus in Luke chapter 12, verse 24. If much will be required of those who have been given much, then much will be required of me. For I have been given much by way of example, opportunity, and training. God puts in your and my spheres of influence people who matter to Him, and so they must matter to you as His healthcare ambassadors. And what should matter to you matters to CMDA, and CMDA matters. Thanks for listening today. Be sure to tune in again next week as I have Dr. Donna Harrison, the Executive Director of APLOG, the American Association of Pro-Life OBGYNs, and I have invited her as our guest because this week is the annual March for Life as we come up to the 48th anniversary of the Supreme Court ruling on Roe v. Wade. Well, as my Kenyan colleagues over many years at Temuk Hospital would often say, and I say to you, you are always highly welcome, friends. Bye for now.
This podcast has been a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.